mamama na madere.
Hallelujah.
Mama supervisor.
thank Cheryl for leading us in songs and praise as part of our worship. Coming to the Word at this point in time, hope and pray that we have your sheets with scriptures on it for the day. We want to get right into the Word so we can go forward. All right. Get a little bit more Bible. I think I'm good enough. Can y'all hear me out there in the foyer? All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Now, I hope you would even go back and read it. Read also verses 1 through 4. Just read that whole chapter. It would be a good thing. But I just want to look at these verses, verses 5 through 11. And it reads, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Mm-hmm. Be sober-minded, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
Yeah.
Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for His word. Pray that He'll help us to share this morning. Amen. And I invite you to listen in as I preach to me. Amen. So y'all just listen in. Preaching to me. Amen. So y'all can listen in as I preach to me. I want to talk about this morning from the title, Doing Decisions Right. Doing Decisions Right. Because there's a right and a wrong way of making decisions. So what I want tonight is just listen to Peter. As Peter is divinely inspired in this epistle, this letter that he writes. And he tells us, or gives us some insight on how to make decisions right.
Alright.
Doing decisions right. And this is so important to do decisions right, because some of our choices have destiny weighing on them. Y'all with me so far? Even to the point that we can make choices, and those choices will impact not only our destiny, but generations that come after us.
Amen.
Amen. So it's important to make decisions in the right way. We want to look at two things. I'm gonna start with how not to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I'm going to work my way to how to make good decisions. Okay?
Amen.
So I'll call this first part the adversary of good decision making. Adversary means an enemy. It's even in our, if you look at verse 8, it's going to be our key verse for the day. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Mm-hmm. Notice your adversary. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the end of chapter, end of verse 8, before I talk about the beginning of verse 8.
All right.
We have an adversary. In decision making, in good decision making, there is an adversary. There is an enemy. There is someone that don't want you to make good decisions. Because he's an adversary. He's against you.
Right.
Amen. He's an adversary and he's against you. And notice what he said. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy wants to devour you, to take control of you, to have you in his grasp so he can destroy and devastate and derail you from your divine destiny. That's what he want to do to you.
Amen.
So that's really good for young people, because young people, the decisions you make as a young person, amen, can impact your life for quite a while. So you want to make, even as a young person,
yes,
to make good decisions. In this whole passage, I'm just quickly look at the whole context of the passage. Peter talked to the elders. The elders are like the leaders because of their maturity and their wisdom. They're like the leaders of the church. And it tells the elders, amen, how they should act and how they should develop those under them. But then it goes on, as it inspires the elders, because they're shepherds under God, and show them how important they are. And then it goes on to talk to the younger people who we want to look at, not only as young in age, but sometimes you may be older in age, but you're younger in the Lord.
That's right.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
Disciple makers, y'all with me? Amen. Or disciple makers, when you look at it, talk about the elders, a lot of those things won't apply to you because you're the one that have to disciple. You're the one that have the wisdom and the leadership ability to pour your life into the younger in Christ or the younger age so they can make the decision. Because just like God wants young lives so he can bless them and they can have an abundant life and tremendous impact. Also, the adversary, Satan, wants young life so he can wreak more devastation.
That's true.
Because they have a long time to work for him.
Right.
They're like they have a long time to work for the Lord.
That's right.
So we want to know how to make good decisions, healthy decisions. And that's where we want to go. So first, I want to talk about the two, I wouldn't say these are the only two, but these are the two that have been put on my heart to share with you today. The two adversaries, the two enemies of you making and doing decisions right.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is what I want to, because I'm talking about bad decisions. So we're talking about bad decisions, that's why I'm talking about blessed decisions. Right now we're on bad decisions, but hopefully we'll get the blessed decisions. So now, when you're making a bad decision, the adversary uses distractions.
That's right.
Amen. That's my first. Distractions. And we live in a time of distraction.
That's right.
With all the things, the social media and computers and texting and most of the time, especially our young people spend more time looking down at their phone. Even when they're in a group of friends, as you're looking in their friends' face, there's a lot of distraction. And so there's that. And then there's the political distraction going on in our country. And then there's the pandemic distractions. And there's distractions all over us. And the time we spend looking at television or listening to music, there are all kinds of distractions. The enemy is using distractions. might have stumbled over something at any time because there's so much clutter. You can't get it in your mind. We clutter up our mind with various things. Amen. You know how many? We make so many decisions in a day. So your mind is already cluttered. And you've got all these decisions. You know, you start early in the morning making decisions.
Amen.
When the alarm goes off, we don't want to get up right now. We don't want to hit the snooze button. Amen. When you go to bed, we don't want to brush your teeth first. You got to make decisions. You make decisions all day. What I'm going to wear? Amen. Which cologne am I going to put on? You make decisions all day long. When you get to the when you get down to the red light and light, you say, okay, do I want to try to stop or do I want to go on through the red light? Which one is said? You make decisions all day long. What station I'm going to listen to while I'm driving. You make decisions all day long. We make thousands of decisions. Now, every decision is not a critical decision. I mean, choosing to wear black or brown shoes is not a critical decision. Probably not going to impact your life, but there are some critical decisions you need to make, and you got to realize the enemy tries to clutter your mind with so many things you can't think straight.
Yeah.
There's so many things coming at you. People coming at you. People trying to talk to you. Conversation. It's cluttering. The cluttering causes you to make difficult decisions. Even driving on the freeway, especially if you're in an urban setting, there's so many cars and things going on and people pulling over from. There's so much sometimes it's hard to make the right decision. So as a cluttered mind can be problematic, but there's too many things on your mind. So distraction, that means a cluttered mind. And the enemy sure enough would get so many things that distract you that you can't make that you can't make the right kind of decision. Now secondly, I said distraction, a cluttered mind. But then I want to talk about disorientation. Distraction, this is a disorientation, and this is a cloud of mind. Because not only will he mess up, you get your mind cluttered with a whole bunch of stuff. And you think about a whole bunch of stuff. And family members, what they're going, you're thinking about so much stuff.
Yeah.
It affects your decision. But then sometimes you get a cloudy mind. You know when it's cloudy, you can't see clearly.
Yeah. That's right.
Too cloudy. Your mind's all cloudy. You can't see like you're supposed to see. Now, one thing, and that's what's being talked about in this case, one thing that causes disorientation on a cloudy mind is when you're going through something that's distressful. Some kind of pain, something that causes pain or anxiety, something that causes overwhelming stress. When you're going to a distressful situation, like the Christians who Peter was talking to, they were going through persecution and they were suffering because of their faith. And Peter said, hey, Peter trying to encourage them, even though they're going through the distressful situation, said, hey, the enemy is going about to and fro trying to find somebody. Trying to find somebody to devour.
Yes.
You're going through this distressful situation and it causes your mind to be cloudy. Be careful, because you're in a position that you can make a bad decision that will impact your life from now on.
Right?
Because your mind cloudy. Things that distress us make our mind cloudy. A lot of times, those are things from our past. Wounds and hurts from our past that haven't healed.
Yeah. Right.
When you got stuff in your past that haven't healed, and those things keep showing up, the cloud and clutter your mind, they have an impact on you even today.
Because
if you're not careful, your past life can tell you, hey, this happened in your past, and it's going to keep happening to you. The abuse, the abandonment, things that were so negative, it negatively impacted you in your past. Maybe because of what somebody said about your appearance, or because the neighborhood you came out. Some traumatic event in your past, amen, is trying to stay there and mess up your present, and your past keeping making promises that you will be the same person tomorrow. And you think, and you can't think clearly that God has given you, there's a new you who's able to do things that the old you couldn't do. You got new power. Got a new God on your side. Who's able to open doors like nobody else can. So, you see how important it is, my brothers and sisters, in order to make good decisions, you got to heal.
Right. Sure.
If you don't heal the wound, if you don't heal the trauma, if you're not somehow seeking solutions, the ways of making the hurt and the trauma of your past and getting healing there, sometimes that will impact your decision today. Mind cloudy. You can't think straight like you need to think. The distress. To be disoriented means to be confused, unable to think clearly. And so many things can do that. Now, the word in our mind to keep our text is saying, look at verse 8, in order, because I'm going back the other way now, I kind of showed you the distraction and the disorientation. Now I'm going to the opposite of this. I'm kind of moving around. Is for us to be sober-minded. The word sober-minded in the Greek means wineless. Wine, not wineless, L-I-S-T. But wineless, L-E-S-S. Because they were trying to say, but this is bigger. Now this is bigger than just the assumption of intoxicating, even though it includes that, but this is so much bigger than that. But it's telling us, so I had, let me actually read it because I had to write it down so I can get it in a better. If soberness means clarity of mind,
right,
and we don't allow ourselves to be captivated by any type of influence that will lead us away from sound judgment. I used to say it like this. I've been saying this for a few years now. It's important not to lose your sobriety. Because when you lose your sobriety, you lose control. And when you lose control, the adversary steps in and takes control. So that he may wreak havoc in your life.
Amen.
I don't bring you no drugs, but I'm talking about, I'm saying sober-mindedness is bigger than that. There's all kinds of ways that he can influence you. Now let me put it like this. I didn't bring one here with me, but it's like when you're not sober-minded, it's like the enemy or the adversary has a remote control. And he's controlling you. But you're in love control. So therefore you're adversary. And he ain't got no mercy. And he has a remote control for your life. And you wonder why the tail changed. Because they're not why you find yourself on station and channel you never meant to be on. Please, you didn't need to be in.
Yeah.
Amen. Doing things you never meant to do. Because when you lost the sobriety, you lost control. When you lost control, he stepped in, took control. Now he has the remote control. And you can't realize, why do I keep doing, find my place in the same way? Now, like I said, it's bigger than intoxicating drink. It's bigger than drugs. Sometimes it can be pride. Sometimes it can be anger.
Yes.
Sometimes it can be lust. There's all of these things that can cause you to lose your sobriety. Sometimes just, hey, not being able to forgive. All kinds of things. You can be so upset at somebody, you can't forgive them, that thing is controlling your whole life.
Right.
Now back when I was for a few months, and I was sales business, I was sales consultant. I kind of told you a few things about that before. But one of the things I hated the most about it, is sometimes, you know, most of the time, all of people say they're not bad, but there are some pretty bad. And the thing about it, sometimes when they sold an automobile, truck, or whatever, and they sold it for such a big profit. You know, you're supposed to make profit.
Yeah.
You know, most time you make around money, most car you make, say, average $500 profit. And you don't probably sell it, you know, 5, 6, 7 cars, and that's one super sale with a 2-minute 20. So that's about right. But sometimes there was some predatory,
predatory
salesmen.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
They were prey upon those with cluttered and clouded minds.
Yeah.
And they would get them to buy vehicles for a way inflated price. Whether they make $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000. But the worst thing about it is after they made it, and you're in the room with them, like I'm in the room with them, how they brag and taunt about what they did. You can hear them saying, like, when they really make a big lump sum, a few thousand, oh man, I wasn't, they had wide open. And they laugh.
Yeah.
And joke.
Yeah.
They talked about it. Because of the injury.
Yeah.
What the hell? And they actually injured you financially.
Yeah.
And they made fun because you failed. Fell for it. And then they kind of hurt me because I mean, so that means they were predators that did really their financial injury to the person that they were supposed to be at. Because you're supposed to help them find something that fits. Sometimes, so you got to be careful because sometimes you think the enemy is your advocate, but really they're your adversary. You got to be careful. I'm going to show you how to be careful in a minute. Because sometimes what you think is a treasure is really a trap. You make a bad decision and you find yourself in that trap. So my brother, what I'm saying there is a lot of times when we lose our sobriety and that sober mind. That's why Peter said, be sober minded, be vigilant, or be alert. Because you got an adversary going to and fro trying to destroy you, derail you from your God-given destiny. Trying to derail you. And sometimes once we fall for what the enemy trying to do, I can hear him just like I hear those cells. Oh yes, I'm busting her head wide open. He's not for you. Against you. Trying to do all he can to make sure you have when you make the wrong decision. So that's the answer. But now we do have an advocate.
Yeah.
We do have an advocate. And the advocate helps us to make the right decision is a word called discernment. Discernment. Now, some people have the spiritual gift of discernment. I probably have that. I think it's one on the test, second, third, or something. They go, we call them teachers who can discern doctrine and stuff like that. But discernment is what I want to talk to you about just a little bit as I close out. Because you need discernment to make good decisions. Discernment means your mind is clear and free from the clutter and the cloudiness. So you can make good decisions when you have discernment. When you have the discernment, you do divine, you do your divine due diligence and you dig deep. When you make decisions, you need discernment. Mm-hmm. So you do your divine due diligence and dig deep.
All right. Wow.
All right. I'm going to have that elaborate because I know a lot of stuff in there. And this is important. You know how many words. Now, first, you got to make your first thing I'm going to say is make your decision strategically. That means you got to look behind the thing and in front of the thing. Y'all with me? What did I just say? Look behind and look. All right, y'all got it. Look behind the thing and look in front of it. That way you got to look behind to see where it's coming from. Behind. But is it coming from the enemy? Or is it coming from God? You got to discern it. I'm going to tell you about how you discern it. But you got to look behind and then look at, if I make the decision, what is going to be the outcome of my decision? So I'm looking behind, because sometimes if you know what's behind, you already know what the outcome is going to be. You know somebody, you know if you got somebody that's always, you know they're backstabbing. But they did it 3 or 4 times. So you know if it comes from them, it's not for your good. And there's going to be a difficult outcome. But now you know if somebody really cares for you, if it's from somebody that cares for you, then what they're probably sharing with you is for you to have a more positive outcome. Y'all with me? So let's get with it. Let's get with it.
Yeah.
Gotta be strategic.
Yes, Lord.
Strategic. Always thinking about how it's gonna. Don't think it. See, the enemy wants you to just think for the moment. He don't want you to think behind what's behind it. He don't want you to think what. He just wants you to think for the moment. If it's good to you now, go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
If the car look good for you, the now look at how pretty it is. Yeah. Think about how your friend going to be impressed when you drive up in this right here.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. It's going to work out for you. Yeah. And you just think about it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to drive in front of my buddies. Yeah. Woo. They going to know what kind of man everybody can drive it. Yeah. And you know in your mind you can't drive. You can't drive me. But see, you ain't thinking about the payment.
There you go.
And the stuff you have to give up. Yeah. Amen. I was driving the other day and we saw, me, Gabrielle, and we saw a car going up the ramp. But the car was going straight, but the wheel was going crooked.
Oh,
the wheel was going crooked. Let me say, the wheel was going straight, but the car was crooked because it had a big frame. And when you got a big frame, your wheel is straight, but your car is like this. Yeah. And the head, a tag, you don't want to tag me, I'm going to get you out of your car. I said, oh, Lord, that is God.
Oh, my.
Hey, you see, she now thinks, she's hard. And maybe some of their first time, or I'm probably four, you know, and maybe they got some money. And, oh, man, I got a big lump sum, let me go get me a car. But then you don't pay. You got to get a good car, because if the car breaks down, you make it payable, then you still don't have a car.
Yeah.
listen at me. Listen at me here. I'm trying to teach you.
You got to think about, hey, you got, I got to get something that's going to run. If I'm going to make payments on it, I want it to run. I don't want to make payments on something that just sits out in the yard.
Okay.
Because it looks pretty. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And then, when you can make payment on it, they come pick it up.
Oh.
And you know your neighbor looking out the window. He knows he couldn't afford it. He knows he couldn't afford it first time. Sometimes bad decisions will embarrass. Embarrass you, your family. Sometimes bad decisions are embarrassing.
You're right, sir. You're right.
Why do you make those decisions? Because now they're derailed of destiny. And I'm saying, amen. Some of you are older here. Amen. I'm talking to the young people, but it's not too late for you to start making those decisions.
That's right.
You can always, amen, make some good decisions now. It's not too late for you to start making. So first, strategically. Now listen here. This is where it gets into the important stuff right here. And you have to have intentional. If you want to make this, be strategic. But now the next three is part of having intentional intimacy with God.
All right.
You really want to start making better decisions, you need to spend some time before God. Before God, say, hey God. You got to spend some time with intentional. Because if not intentional, he will so crowd your day that you won't have it. Because remember, he don't want you to spend any time before God because he doesn't want you to make the decision.
Right.
He don't want you to have a sober mind. He wants to be able to control you with his remote. So, you got to say, hey God, you mean you. Not having a good day. I mean, I already messed up two or three times on whatever. It's not going too good for me. But I want to be comforted and glorify you with the way I live. Because I know how good you've been to me. I know you saved me. I know you changed my life. You've given me help. I want to be a better person. But I need help right now because I'm not doing it too good. I'm not doing this thing. You can be honest with God. It ain't like you're going to surprise me. I already knew anyway.
Right.
God is old. Oh, I didn't know you did that.
He already knew.
He knew what you did last week. And the month before. It may be the closet to some, but it's not in the closet for God. God saw it clearly. I see it clearly. I'm willing to forgive you and I give you the power to overcome in the future. But you got to spend time before me. So now, the sermon is strategic, but secondly, you got to get in the scripture. You got to get in the scripture. Don't just, now, when I say get in the scripture, don't just open the Bible. So you see what the Lord got to say today? And then you see Judas hung himself. You don't want to open your scripture. God that got you. Then you know Judas hung himself. No! You got to have, amen, a plan. Read through a book. Or you go to the Christian book and get your book. They got the scriptures in it. Then as you read through the book, it'll tell you go back to your Bible. And then because a good Christian book, I always going to have a lot of scripture where you go back to your Bible.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it explains things. Say, hey, go back to the Bible. And it explains the Bible. Get you one of them daily reads. Now, as you grow older, you ought to be able to, because those things are other people feeding you. At some point, you got to learn how to feed yourself.
Yeah.
And then go to the Word of God.
Yeah.
But you won't be able to do that unless you're willing to take time and make time for him and to intentionally share intimacy with him at the park. be the word of God. If you need a plan, that's why we got this. That's why we got disciple makers, and that's why pastors and Ernest and myself and Cheryl and other of our disciple makers, first generation and other mature believers, they can help you get a plan to start with. And the good thing, if you got a stronghold, we can put the plan, match the plan over the stronghold. I'm just sharing it with y'all. Now, as I share these things, y'all, when you go back, because I know y'all gonna go back and look at the context around, and it talks a lot about humbling yourself. Humbling yourself. That means, because we're talking about, remember we're talking about the elders and the young people. The young people gotta humble themselves and often listen to the elders. The problem is sometimes why we've had these things so long, because we've not humbled ourselves and what God can give us grace. God gives grace to the humble. But if you're so proud you want to live your own way, do your own thing, then you'll never receive the grace that you need to overcome what you need to overcome. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, let me come to this thing. So you spend time in Scripture. Now, not only do you spend time in Scripture, but remember, strategic. Discernment got strategic back then. Then you got the Scripture. Spend time. Section. The third thing I want to talk about is spirit leading. The spirit leads you. You know we sang that song, let the Holy Ghost lead you. He's a mighty good leader. Well, you got to listen to his promptings in your heart. But he'll prompt you. Man, I remember when Paul in Acts chapter 16, early parts, Acts chapter 16, when Paul was on his missionary journey, Paul and Silas, and they were going one place, and then it said the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. And then they were going up and just kept getting doors closed. See, but something, and maybe the door wasn't closed, but I mean, he kept closing the door. Because sometimes, listen, this is important. Sometimes, just because a door is open don't mean you need to walk into it.
Right?
Because it may not be open for you. So don't say, oh, this door is open, I guess I'm going to walk. Oh, I got this job offer. I guess I'm going to walk into this. Oh, I got this new hookup. I guess it's going to be the one I've been waiting on.
Well,
no, Bernie, that ain't the one. That ain't the one. Just because that door is open, don't you walk into that door. He may not be the one for you.
Yeah.
You need, even before you start even thinking that direction, you need intentional intimacy with God.
Yes. Yes.
And look at the scriptures. Now, if you don't believe in God, then, unequally yoked. You already don't believe.
That's right.
Is he worse off than you?
No.
All right, here we go. But scripture, and then the spirit of leading. Spirit of leading. Spirit, that's the spirit of leading. And one way the spirit of leading is when you're thinking about something, it will bring a scripture, a sermon, a teaching back to you.
Yes.
It said it brings to your remembrance because you don't put it in. See, now if you haven't taken intentional time out to be in the scripture, you haven't put anything in. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you ain't never put it in.
Okay.
You had to be in the word first. And then the Holy Spirit brings it back to the remembrance. Somebody got a business. Hey, Ernie, I got a good business opportunity. You can make a lot of money. All I need you to do is bring in, bring in $10,000. I know you got that property down there. That property ain't doing you no good. Sell that property. $10,000. Come with this thing with me. And that person that don't know nothing about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's unequally real. You're not supposed to be in the partnership, no.
Yeah, there you go. Amen.
Because that thing. want you, hey, he may want you to open a strip club.
Because
he's just trying to make money.
Right.
You trying to glorify.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Oh, no, it ain't. It's just a little store. It's just a little store I want.
Yeah.
But then what they going to sell in that store?
Yeah, right.
They may be selling stuff in that store that's not in a car. But you got to think deeply. All right, so that's true. Now, last, I talk about strategic scripture, spirit leading. Lastly, the saints' guides. Because the Proverbs, let me see, 19:20-21 said that in a group of godly counselors, you can find safety when you got a group. Anyway, get a group of saints that you trust. And lies reflect the glory of God.
Yes.
And got the wisdom.
Yes.
And you ask them about it. You look at scripture. Okay, scripture, I think scripture is with it. The spirit seems to be okay with it. Now you go to a group of believers. A group of believers that not yet. I said, when you get the group, don't get yes men. Don't get people you know gonna say yes to you.
Right,
but
right.
Get people you know gonna say yes to God. Get people that if you off course, going to challenge you to get back on course. Going to say, no, that's the wrong direction. You're living in error.
Yeah.
This is not a good decision that you're making.
Yeah, sure.
Sir, y'all see what I'm talking about the sermon?
Yeah.
It's because you want to make good decisions. So, can you imagine? Can you imagine a young person, 9 years old, 11, 14, 17, 20, and they got that mindset? Say, oh, I want to make good decisions, Pastor. So I'm going to give a point. I'm going to spend time with God every day praying to God. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to have somebody give me one of those systems, something where I can read. Tell me how to read. I read book by book. How to understand it. Because I want to understand it. Then after I understand it, I want to walk. So you talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend time and I'm going to try to listen because he speaks inside of me. And I'm going to try to listen to him. I'm going to try to be sensitive to his leading. When I'm headed somewhere and I feel that thing that said, no, this just ain't the place for you. You just don't fit there.
Yes.
Now that new friend you got, I don't know. Y'all may not need to be too buddy, but it's not right to be friendly toward them. But you may not be, you may not be, because they're not headed in the same direction. Because God got a destiny for you.
Yes.
Amen. In order for you to reach where he wants you to reach.
Yes.
Now sometimes the person you have some kind of friendship. Maybe you've had friendship before. And that don't mean you don't be friendly. That don't mean you're not there. They need you to help them with a car problem or take them to work. But don't. That may not be the kind of person that you want to have in covenant relationship with.
Oh, yeah.
That you hang out with constantly. That you share everything with. Because where he, it's just like a rocket, I told you before, like a rocket ship that's headed to higher heights going out of space. Amen. In order for him to get to where the rocket is designed to get to, at some point, they got to drop some engine off.
Yeah.
They don't take everything. Everything that rock takes up don't go out of space. A lot of that would have to go off for him to get to the what it was designed to go. And sometimes, amen, everybody that you meet in life ain't God don't want you to take that person off. That person won't, if you hold on to him, you can't get to where he wants you to go. Because they don't have the discernment that you have. So yes, I'm trying to show you. Imagine a person at a young age having that kind of discernment. What a great lie is born. And even us in here in our age, you can start today. Lord, I've made so many mistakes. Oh,
yes,
but I'm glad there's no mistake you made the blood can't cover. will get better.
Yeah.
You will get better. And you will get better. And you will get better. Wrong you do it. When you make one wrong, hey, repent. Don't be arrogant.
Amen.
Humble yourself.
Yes.
Don't be stubborn. Humble yourself.
Yes.
If you humble yourself, he'll give you grace.
Yes.
Grace is amazing because of what you do in the life. I can change your life around. Till sometimes when grace comes to your life, and a lot of times when grace comes to your life, people that knew you way back when can't understand you today. Because grace has made such a significant change.
Yes.
In your doing decisions right. And as I close, Gabby's going to give us a song in just a moment. I want to say, doing the last thing I want to say about doing, you got a decision to make right now.
Mm.
All of us here. Am I going to continue to live that life, cluttered, cloudy minds, giving up my sobriety, allowing the enemy to come in and take control and wreak havoc in my life with his remote control? Oh, is this the day that I make a change? Is this the day I decide to do it right? That's the decision. Is this the day I get rid of my pride, get rid of my arrogance, get rid of my stubbornness, and say, today I'm going to do it right? Make that decision. Gabrielle's going to share a song. Listen to this song. I think we played it here maybe a few weeks ago, but I want you to hear it again and put it with this sermon. Let it minister to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. What you need to do. If you would just turn around and quit, make a new turn. He'll give you grace. He gave me grace. He gives me grace every day. He'll give you grace. And ain't no telling where you got to end up with God's grace. Because he's an amazing God.
I choose my priority.
And that's what we all should want. Whatever in our lives that's blocking us from having the right kind of relationship with Christ,
yes,
we need to move it over.
Yes.
So we can see Him clearly. But once you know His voice, that's the secret. When you spend time, anybody you spend time with a lot, you will know their voice. They, right, they call you on the phone, you will know their voice.
Yes.
But you know them well. So you will know the voice of God when He's guiding you in your everyday life.
Yes.
Telling you, I hear, in this situation, in this decision, I hear the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know His voice. You know how He is. Kind of, you can anticipate how He feels about the thing. Because you spend so much time. The longer you spend praying, the more you know in life this night, the more things about it. So that's why you got to spend time with God. So move it over. Move it over, whatever is between you and having any relationship with God. Thank y'all for coming out today. Enjoy everybody. Now we're going to, probably, right now I'm thinking it's probably not going to be, even though we're going to have a podcast next week, it's probably not going to be a live podcast. The family's on vacation next week.
Okay.
Amen. It's, you know, it's just usually our four Sundays when we have this part. Family on vacation. I'm kind of burnt out. I'm kind of carried out. You know, but I know a lot of people going a lot of things. I've been hearing about this person going to bed, this person with all the stuff that's happening in the world. Now that the death of our man, I said, I thought we finished with this. I'm kind of emotionally, you know, you care about things. At some point, as a caregiver, you get cured out.
Yes.
So I'm kind of cured out, so I need like a week or so off.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens next week. You either get a tape with me, or I may just say, hey, y'all, just find your church to go to. Hey, man, I hope you come back. Better leader, better pastor, better husband, better father. Well, for some of these here that women today, my friends, and congregation, they need the same thing here today like I do. So bless us with the thank you, standing and give themselves to you. Just want to live for your glory, because you deserve it. Your mighty God.
Yes.
Now to him as able to keep us presented with our Father for our fathers. From love of God, our Father, grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our comfort. Rest, rule, and abide with us now and this morning. Amen.
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 Like that. Always.
Yes, good to see you.
And you take your time. Come. We be on. Take your time out. You need it.
All
right.
Hey.